You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. What just happened?
Oh, there he is, the king.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
I'm playing this because I don't have any Mel Tillis and the Texas Playboys music. Joining me from the great state of Texas, one of Texas's native sons, Michael Musselman. What's up, Tex? How you doing today?
What's going on, Max?
Nothing. Nothing, just kicking around. Secretary of State has been replaced. Mike Pompeo. What do you make of that? Good, bad? Personality clash with the president?
Yeah, I don't know. What they say that the reason was she got fired over the North Korea thing?
No, that he and the president weren't on the same frequency.
Okay.
That Tillerson, by all accounts, is obviously his incredible achievements in the private sector, but that he and the president not syncing up. It's been coming for a while, obviously. so earlier, Grant Newsom said, yeah, when he got quoted last summer saying that the president was a moron, you know, it was amazing that he didn't get fired then. But he said that's not exactly what he said. But so it happened. So we got a new Secretary of State. The Brits have said, hey, the Russians are responsible for spreading nerve agents in one of our cities to try to kill one of their spies. We want an explanation within 24 hours.
Putin's, or what?
I don't know. Good question. Or what are the Brits going to do?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to send a letter, strongly worded.
Strongly worded letter.
Yeah, hold on, boys. So stupid.
But, Yeah, can you imagine spreading nerve agent around a civilian place? Come on, what the hell is that? I mean, at least the North Koreans just smushed in the guy's face and took off. I mean, they've got like a whole city block in like Coventry, some small town in the UK. Hey, you live there. What do you call England? Do you call it England? Do you call it Great Britain? What's the difference?
Great Britain would be all of the, like, Wales. When you refer to England is just the country, and then Great Britain would be Wales, Scotland, Ireland.
Whoa, Northern Ireland, bro. Don't be pulling the rest of the Ireland in there.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's right. I'm not even Irish. I'm American. I just felt I should say that for my ancestors. Okay, so that's going on. Okay, here's what I want to. Here's what the plea deal after all this at Paris Island plea deal. Okay, now I'm gonna read.
Okay.
I'm gonna read you the sentence, and you tell me. Here's Lieutenant Colonel. I'll tell you what he's charged with, and tell me what you think. Okay.
Okay.
He pled guilty to three charges. Dereliction of duty, making false official statements, plural, conduct unbecoming an officer. Okay. Gunny went to jail for 14 years, and a recruit.
What?
Yeah. That Gunnery Sergeant Felix was reduced and sent to prison for 14 years. He's got a wife and four daughters. I believe it's 14 years. It may be 10. I can check. But Lieutenant Colonel, we'll call him Lieutenant Colonel X because his name doesn't make any difference to us. Okay.
Right.
He pled guilty to those three charges. Okay. Again, dereliction of duty, making false official statements, plural, right? Conduct unbecoming. All right. He's going to receive a letter of reprimand, a forfeiture of pay, of $1,000 a month for 5 months.
Okay.
And that's it.
That's bullshit, man.
Why is it bullshit?
Because, you know, you're in charge. Your name's out front. You get the bigger sentence.
Okay. Now, let me tell you the false official statements. Here's dereliction of duty. All right. Had to do with being told by his regimental commander to remove Gunnery Sergeant Felix, who had non-adjudicated accusations of abusing recruits against him. He failed to do that. And he had already had validated, you know, accusations of recruit abuse in his folder. Okay, so in that bowl of spaghetti, you get that sentence? I read that, Mike, and I said, you got to be shitting me. He skated. I thought the Marine Corps, I thought he was going to get the wood laid to him as a statement to everybody that, look, we don't care about your story. We don't care about your reason. Okay? What we care about is good order and discipline.
Right.
And you being derelict in your duty, then making false official statements, you're going to get smoked. And he'll retire as a lieutenant colonel, and he had to put in his retirement papers. As of now, he'll retire as a lieutenant colonel.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's not fair, man.
Yeah, do you want me to write the check? Not right now. But, you know, Mike and I have had these conversations about enlisted discipline. They get the wood laid to them, and they go to jail. Abu Ghraib officers never even got touched. Oh, you're gonna give me a letter? What are you gonna do? Roll that up and stab me in the eye with it? Okay. Can I have 6 copies of it too? Ouch. You know? I had the same reaction you did, Mike. Wow.
Yeah. That.
But
I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't understand.
Right. Other big headline today, Mike? Marine Corps Times? Sun's out, guns out, delayed on several bases due to cold weather. Now, you know what that really means? It's a slow news day if we're writing that story, man. It's a slow, slow, slow news day. All right.
Sun's out, guns out?
Come on, you've heard that. Sleeves up.
Oh, okay.
Are you a proponent of sleeves up and down? I am. I like it.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it was just a pain in the ass.
I didn't like rolling around with sleeves down when it was hot and you're in garrison. When you're out in the field, you don't even notice it, right? In garrison, it's like,
right.
God, it's hot. Why am I doing this, man? What is the point of this? So, big, we had a big debate about a few years ago, though. A big debate, okay? No joke. Email. Mac, I didn't hear your earlier commentary, but I will have to say I'm a bit stunned, too. I heard a little bit of your conversations with Colonel Woodbridge, and the fact that it's unanimous on this program this morning tells me something. You guys have about how many years of service in the Marine Corps? Mike, how many years did you have when you got up? 30?
30, yeah, close to 31.
Okay, so 31. Woody's got to have similar. So between the three of us, close to 80-something years of service. And every one of us says the same thing. That ain't right. So
no, that's not right, man.
And again, we don't have access to all the records and all that. But let me just tell you, when you're accused of those things and somebody gets killed in all of it, although that wasn't linked to this case. And that's the punishment. Teflon, man. Officers are Teflon in the Marine Corps now. They're not held accountable. So.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't understand. It does not make any sense to me.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wait. Film at 11. All right. What do you know about collapsible refrigerators and unmanned helicopters in the military? Do you know anything about them?
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. What do you know about Congress grilling the Marine Corps over the M27 buy?
I haven't heard about that.
Okay, let me bring you up to snuff, and then you can comment on it. Marine commanders are being grilled by members of Congress today over their decision to seek a single-source contract from a foreign company to procure the M27 IAR. The Marine Corps is seeking to procure 15,000 H&K M27 rifles to field to the infantry. The $3,000 a copy rifle is being sourced to a German company, the issue raised by members of Congress at a House Armed Service Committee meeting on readiness. Quote, do you believe that this is the best option to not compete a contract that could be as many as 50,814 rifles, Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican chairman of the House Armed Service Committee, asked Marine commanders at the hearing, do you believe the U.S. Defense Industrial Base could support such a request? So, Mike, why would the Marine Corps go down this road as opposed to the normal bid process?
Well, because the normal bid process, I mean, it failed in the beginning with when we first acquired it.
Okay, the article says, any new decision to source the weapon from a U.S. supplier could result in costs as high as $24 million and a two-year delay in getting the weapons into the hands of grunts. That's the process you're talking about?
Yeah. And it's just a slow, outdated process that doesn't work anymore. We got a proven system. You know, we're going to try and reinvent the wheel to make it a little more round. And, you know, the upsetting thing for me on that, listening to that, is, but it's okay, again, to buy overseas steel that makes our ships.
Yeah, I thought free trade was okay.
I thought so, too.
What's the problem? It's the Marine Corps being cost effective and timeliness in the way they procured this weapon after their testing.
Yeah, exactly. They're being punished because they're trying to do what's right. Yeah. And this congressman probably has in his district, you know, gun makers, probably Colt or something. He's probably from Connecticut. Where's he from?
Well, the other guy, the next guy who piled on was from Georgia, so I wonder who makes whatever they make in Georgia. In its pre-solicitation, the Corps sought a production capacity of 50,200 M27s to ensure any sole source provider could meet the demands. If the Corps needed more than 15,000 rifles, H&K met those requirements. And a report by the GAO found the process undertaken by the Corps to be legal for the service to pursue a sole source contract. Kidding up, giving grunts new weapons and technology has been a priority for General Bob Neller. A new open competition to seek a U.S. manufacturer for an automatic rifle could prove a major setback. The M27 is a proven weapon that has afforded grunts increased lethality. The 30-round capacity rifle has increased range over its predecessor, the M4. As such, the Corps made a marksman version of the M27 known as the M38. So explain all that to us. Explain single source supplier. I know it sounds obvious, but explain the nuances of that to us.
That just means that you forego the acquisitions piece and then the testing, and then because there's already a proven track record that one company makes what you're looking for. So you apply for a single source vendor. So instead of, so let's say you're going to buy, let's say, the branding iron thing. Let's use the branding iron thing.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Mike bought it. In case you didn't listen yesterday, Mike bought a branding iron as a wedding gift. And
yeah.
So we'll use that as an example. Go ahead.
So with the branding iron, there's a company in North Dakota that makes it. And it costs, let's say, $200 a copy. Okay. And I need, 100 of these things. So you apply for a single source, because they're a known quantity. They make it well. And so you apply for this thing. The other course of action then is go ahead and spend the money to, and open it up for solicitation for other companies to actually make this. And then you have, 10 different prototypes from 10 different companies. Well, the problem with that is there's X amount of millions of dollars involved in just opening that up for bid. So then you go through this whole process of quantifying what they made. Does it make the specification? So again, it's money, it's time. And in the end, what could have been just solved with a simple, and then, so the item, the widget, doesn't cost $200 anymore. It costs $700. Because you had to open up the bid. And so that's the problem with that single source stuff or the acquisitions process is sometimes you try and do this right and save taxpayer money and time and then get the thing. Cause in the time that you could have had the branding iron in your hand, now it's 3.5 years later and you may or may not have exactly what you want.
And you're already 3 years further down the road in terms of it being outdated.
Right. And it's already outdated and, and I get the whole market, but it's jobs and it's everything else, but that's not always the case. I mean, it's frustrating to see that, these outdated systems are still in place. The laws haven't changed.
Mike, it almost is interesting. It seems like the Marine Corps is forcing that discussion. So why wouldn't you go through that process? Because it doesn't serve our needs anymore. That process is, and make just the words that you say, it's out of date. And
yeah,
and I don't know what to say, Mr. Chairman, but all I know is this: we need that weapon, and we need it now. We don't need it in 3.5 or 4 years, because it will then be marginalized technology. We need it now. And your system doesn't facilitate what we need anymore. We would have been happy to buy it domestically, trust us. But nobody else.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody else could have made that.
Not the way that it was intended.
Right.
And again, at the cost, in the end, that $3,000 rifle is going to cost, $6,000. It's going to double the cost because of all the money you put in for trying to develop that technology. And then in the end, like you said, then you get this thing at the very end of it. It's, it's 4 years down the road. And with, and then if there's any complications in it, you're forced to eat that. So, and this is just, it's lobbyists, that's really what it comes down to is these congressmen and these politicians have constituents that probably build these systems in their districts. Something that could be money in their pockets. So they're not doing it because they're not bringing this up because it's right. You know, this is the right thing to do. Question this because this is America. No, they're doing it because it, the people that elected them are upset with, you know, allowing this to happen.
Hey, let me tell you, it's probably worse than that. The guy from Georgia, there's probably some bid that he's afraid might go single source to somebody else, right? So he's standing
right
up to deliver a message to everybody for the, some other contract that hasn't even been let yet, that he wants to make sure if it goes that way, it's going someplace else. If I can force it through there, I have a chance to force it to my constituent. It'll be some shit like that. But, you know, again, I mean, what you would hope is that, hey, reform, fix the system, man. Fix the system. And how would you fix the system, Mike? Because it seems like what you need is you need a couple producers of record that you can work with to evolve products, but that flies in the face of the whole bid process.
Right.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, there's, yeah, you have to rewrite the laws.
And just so everybody knows, it's written in law. It's not like these are, you know, recommendations, DOD recommendations to follow. It's law. Yeah, because it's a lot of money. Address this real quick. While the infantry has fallen head over heels for the IAR, special operators don't want it. The M27 is not compatible with SOCOM's low receivers, and adopting the rifle would mean Marine operators would lose flexibility of changing out various barrels and configurations for a multitude of diverse mission sets carried out by elite commando units. So explain the difference in mission sets, and then what in terms of low receivers, what are they talking about?
What they want is they want a gun that can fire different calibers. So they want interchangeable systems. So guns that if they need a 308, you know, or they need longer bullets require different lower receivers. So your 308 is, you know, and your 5.56 are not compatible. So they like this interchangeable thing, which I agree. I mean, special operators, they have different mission sets, but they shouldn't be. I don't know why they're complaining, because they're not held to the same regulations or the rules. They can buy off-the-shelf stuff. They don't go through the acquisition process. They just buy it. They know it's out there. They go get it. So I don't know why they're bitching about it. They're not held to the same standard. If they don't want the M27, they just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't think they're complaining about it. They just said, hey, we don't want it. And everybody went, whoa, what's going on? Marine Corps. Hey, Mike, explain the relationship between Marine Corps Special Operations Marines and Marine Corps Operating Forces.
Well, it's two different. Those are two different entities. MARSOC doesn't belong to the Marine Corps. It belongs to JSOC.
Yeah. So when you hear Marine Special Operators, it should be Special Operators, and then in parentheses, who happen to be Marines. Okay.
I
think, is that a better way of writing it? Because the separation is. Do you remember Get Smart when Max would walk through those doors at the end, and the doors would go bam, the big. That's the separation between Special Operations Command and everybody else. You lose them. They're gone. Wave goodbye.
Yeah, they're not coming back.
Yeah. SOCOM. Different entity. So Marine Special Operators don't work for the Marine Corps. They work for, as Mike said, JSOC. So anyway, they just said, we don't want that. All right. Got it.
They don't want it. They don't want it. Fine.
You know, I did a really interesting interview that it's going to play, I think, later this week with the company commander of Kilo 35, who was one of the principals in the Sea Dragon 2025 initiative and the testing that was done, and all the different technologies that were shoved at the company. The company in 2 5-man fire team squads, conventional 3x4, and then 3x5, and then the use of an assistant squad leader who was your kind of your tech controller guy, and all the different things that have been thrown at it, and then the creation of the O365 MOS. Can you talk about that, Mike, the O365?
What's that?
I guess it's an MOS for a squad leader now.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't know they had a designation yet. So career squad leaders.
Explain that.
Guys that.
What is that?
Well, they just elect to be an O365, and it puts them on a different career path, different schools, keeps them out of the B billet stuff, and gives them different requirements.
Oh, so instead of B billets, they're going to be in a squad leader. Either you're training people or you're leading people, and that's what you do.
Right.
Wow.
They still do a B billet, but they don't do it. They're not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're just not in that same pipeline the whole time. They go do it and then they're out of it.
And they would get, so what's the...
But they get offered different schools.
Okay.
Yeah. They're guaranteed schools, but they're guaranteed to stay in the infantry.
Okay. All right. So, and that is because when you hear what happens at the squad now in terms of, Sea Dragon 2025, the technology shoved there, the drones that exist there, the communications that exist there. It's really interesting to hear him talk about the effect of suppressors in a in terms of controlling an organization. He says it's sweet. He said, however,
oh yeah.
He said until we get suppressors for crew served weapons. Once they get involved, it's still a problem. Talk to us about that, Mike. Suppressors for crew served weapons. Why not?
Well, they already exist. They just haven't bought them yet.
Okay. Is there a reason that we haven't bought them? Is it technology flawed? Does it not work all the time? Are they too expensive?
No, it works. It's just there's no requirement. There has to be a requirement. And since there's no requirement, you don't get it. I mean, it's simple.
Okay.
You got to have the requirement.
Well,
yeah.
Why is there a requirement to suppress rifles but not machine guns?
Because someone actually wrote the requirement, wrote out a document, a requirement document, McCivic, who that's their job, Marine Corps Combat Development Command, and they wrote out a requirement that states that there's a need to have suppressed service rifles. That's all that means. Someone wrote out a requirement. Someone sat down and wrote it out.
All right. So at some point, one would think that the Marine Corps would get around to suppressing the gargantuan amount of noise that machine guns make.
I did it when I was at the School of Infantry. I got a 7.62 spare barrel and had it machined down to have threads put on it. And then we put in a Surefire suppressor and suppressed the 7.62 machine gun.
And does it, suppressor no degradation in terms of, characteristics of the weapon itself?
Well, not degradation. It enhances. So there's no sound, there's no disruption of the earth, when you have things in the prone position, when you're firing it, it doesn't kick up all the dirt. It's pure goodness.
It's pure goodness.
That thing it rocks.
How much of the noise that you said with normal suppressor, about 50% of the noise goes away?
Oh, probably less, more than that, I would say 60-70%. But there's no gas so you don't see the signature. The signature's gone. Yeah, it's truly amazing, man.
Is that if you were to prioritize the benefits, is signature number one or number two?
It's right up there. I would say in a machine gun, it's number one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you fire a machine gun, the dead giveaway is you see the gas, you know, that smoke. You see a visual indicator of where you're at. Sound is pretty close up there. You know, when a machine gun opens up, people do not like machine guns, so they fire at machine guns. But if they can't see where the machine gun's coming from,
yeah, if you
can, then they can't isolate it by sound.
Yeah, if you can make it harder to locate, yeah.
Yeah, the detection of it becomes, you know, basically it's non-existent. You can't see it. You're just getting wrecked by something that's firing super fast at you.
Right. Wow. The all right, email question.
Okay.
Is it me, or are we ceasing to be a nation of laws? It seems like, and I want to quote Mac a little bit earlier in the program, in this country, it's normal now to pick and choose the laws that you want to obey. And it doesn't seem out of character for people to put their hand on the scale of justice. In my entire life, I don't know that I've ever lived in a time in which this seems to be so prevalent. If you look at the investigation into Russian collusion with the Trump campaign, it seems like it's not an abnormal condition, whether it's before the FISA court or the FBI investigation, for people's political views to impact the laws that they decide to enforce and the laws that they don't decide to enforce. Mac earlier was talking about the disregard for our immigration laws and what went on in Denver. It's disgusting. We can be a lot of things, but when we cease being a nation of laws, we have lost the essence of what has made America the nation that it is. We have always been that. I really don't understand this. Leaves me scratching my head. Thoughts? Mike, thoughts on that?
I don't understand it either. I mean, you take the Oakland mayor, for instance. I mean, what she did, she broke the law. It's easy to enforce. You just put her in jail, and you're done with it. But yeah, I don't understand. It makes my head. I scratch my head with it. So
yeah, I'm.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, I said that as much a little bit ago, and that is. Look, we can have whatever debate that we want to have about this kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, we're a nation of laws. I don't get how you just don't obey them. I don't get, and again, this thing in
I don't understand how you get it passed. Yeah.
Yeah, this thing in Denver blows my mind. In that, again, it reminds me of what happened at Douglas High School, and in a complete failure of a system. Right, a guy who's in the country illegally. He's drunk, driving his pickup, smashes into a semi. The driver of the semi burns to death. Burns to death. Talk about one of the worst deaths that could ever befall you. Slow, excruciatingly painfully burned to death in his truck. He then leaves the scene. Somehow or other, that guy gets a bond of $25,000. That's it. Because, you know, we all know he'll show up for his trial, right? Right. So that's why it's posted so low. He comes up with $2,500. He gets out. Now, the sheriff said, look, we don't honor detainers, but in this case, we'll make sure ICE knows when he's getting out. Oh, guess what didn't happen? They didn't make sure ICE was you know, was going to be on, was going to be there.
Right.
It's like, are you shitting me? Now where is this guy? Oh, we can't
find
him.
I don't know.
Yeah, we can't find him. Oh, we'll just wait for him when he shows up at his court date. Right.
Yeah, good luck with that, guys.
Yeah, I got some swamp land in Florida that I want to sell you to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, how can it be like that? How can it be so fucked up? I just don't get it. I don't get it. It's like, you know, okay, who works Sunday in the late afternoon, evening? That would be our idiot, okay? Because we don't want them working Friday night, Saturday night. So we'll throw them in there Sunday afternoon, evening when everybody's too tired and hungover. Hopefully nothing bad happens on Sunday, right? And then as I'm getting ready to walk at the door, I'm like, oh, yeah, Schwarz, he's a bozo. Where's Musselman? So I call Mike on his phone. Mike, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm cleaning Tina's car. And I say, hey, I need you to come in here for 3 hours. And Mike says, what? Son, I'm like, no, remember, you know, Nut, the national story, we're all over the place. Yeah. You just need to come in here and drink coffee. And when Schwarz screws it up, you just need to make sure everything goes right. And Mike would say, all right, I got it. So Mike walks in, and he doesn't say a word. He's just drinking a cup of coffee. Hey, Gunner, what are you doing here? Nothing. Tina's mad at me, so I figured I'd come down here. Get out of the house.
Sure.
Oh, really? And what he does, because he's a pro, he just hangs out. He talks to people. And then when we bring the dude out, he's posted bond, and he's getting ready to walk out the door. Mike says, hey, hold on. Is ICE outside yet? Hold on, let me look. No. Oh, hey, I want you to double check that we have the correct fingerprints for him on file. What? Just do it. I put him back in the holding cell, and then Mike gets on the phone, and he calls ICE, and he says, hey, are you going to pick this guy up or not? Well, nobody told us when he was leaving. Well, he's getting ready to walk out the door. All right, we'll be there in 15 minutes. That's the kind of shit, the kind of professional interaction between law enforcement that you pay people for.
Right.
Somebody to send somebody to have a cup of coffee and stand around with their hand in their pockets, right at a very, very important part so it doesn't get screwed up. And we can't even do that. And you look at it and you're like, oh, man, to be a parent at Douglas High School, and could you imagine the twisting of the screwdriver in your gaping wound in your heart? As you see 40-something times, you know, to that kid's house, as you see social workers interviewed him and said he's not a threat to the school or anybody, as the FBI screwed it up, as the guys stayed outside and didn't go in there that were sworn to protect and serve the community, that were the community. It's like, come on, man, make it stop. Can't we do anything anymore in this country? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know, but pretty discouraging, Mike.
You think?
And you want to know, you know what I heard? I heard yesterday that the demographics, Orange County consistently a conservative place in Southern California. But the demographics of Orange County are changing, right? A lot of people have left Orange County. Number one destination of people leaving Orange County is? Mike?
Texas.
I heard that. I went, oh, Gunner. That's right. The state of Texas. So.
Yeah.
So, but I mean.
There's a reason why, boys.
There's a reason why, boys. MARSOC does not belong to JSOC. Belongs to SOCOM.
Well, same thing. Shit.
Montana man's got nothing to do. He's sitting up there staring at the snow, drinking his scotch already. Acting like it's like some kind of nutrition drink. What's the difference? So tell us what JSOC is and then tell us what SOCOM is.
Well, Special Operations Command and then Joint Special Operations Command.
What's the difference? It sounds like the same thing.
Well, it's, you know, Montana man, come on and he'll tell you, but it, to me, yeah, it, whenever you get the secret squirrels that believe that they're different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they understand the difference between Special Operation Command embraces all branches of the military, yes?
That's what I would think.
Okay, so what's the difference between then Joint Special Operations Command? It sounds like a redundant organization.
It is. Probably another organization to give another general a job.
And those special operators, they need them because you can't have enough of them. You can't have enough of them. All right. All right. So what do you got going on today? Anything exciting?
Today, not really.
You kind of worked, you did a little bit of work yesterday on your recovery day, getting the car cleaned and doing the laundry. So is today your recovery day?
I cleaned the barbecue grill out.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, for barbecue season. Yeah, that was, taught my daughter how to use the high pressure washer.
You know, I stuck my foot in front of a high pressure washer to see how hard it was.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, don't do that. Cut my toe.
Yeah.
It would have cut it to the bone. It would have cut, but I didn't get enough of my toe in front of it. But it cut it good.
Yeah.
So just if anybody's contemplating that, don't do that. Went through my flip-flop after it went through my toe. And my college roommate said, "What are you doing?" But he likes stuff like that. So he's actually impressed that I did it. Yeah, those pressure washers. You can do a lot of damage to your house. They're great on concrete, though. Everything looks great after you use them. But you can do some damage.
Look, you can do a ton of damage.
Would you say you could do more damage or good with a pressure washer?
Damage.
I say damage, too. Yeah, because you get it in your hands, man, and you get results. Things look different after you pressure wash something. What were you pressure washing?
The grill. The grills.
That thing looks tight today, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it looks almost brand new.
Now, do you have a propane? Is it a propane or a charcoal?
It's both.
Ooh.
One side is propane and one side's charcoal. And then the smoker's attached to it, too.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big stuff. When are you, do you not grill during the winter? I'm surprised, kind of surprises me. I would think you'd be an all-season griller.
I do. But not as much. Not as much as I grill in the summertime.
Are you more propane or charcoal?
Propane. I only use the charcoal like when I'm smoking stuff.
So. All right, the single best tasting dish you make on the grill.
Shit, everything is good.
Oh, come on. The best thing you make. Don't play that game with me.
Probably, I'd say steaks.
What kind of steak, though? What do you mean steaks, plural? What steak? What is your number?
Ribeye.
Man, I'll tell you what. Ribeye is the best. It's got enough marbling in it that it tastes great. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you use a rub on it?
No, I just use salt and pepper.
Salt, pepper, ribeye. Really, that's about all you need. I know with the proliferations of rubs and all the other things that everybody puts on stuff, it seems like
much.
I'm actually surprised that you don't. Honestly, I'm actually surprised. Because you're a foodie.
Salt and pepper. Yeah, but just salt and pepper.
That's it.
I mean, yeah, it tastes great.
It is. My buddy, the chef, I used to go hang out with him like once a week. And I walked into his office one night and he was having dinner. I said, "What are you having?" And he said, "I'm just having dinner." I said, "Yeah, but what are you eating?" He said, "Oh, it's a ribeye." And I never really, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the ribeye. I just, you know, a steak is a steak, whatever.
Oh, my God.
I know. And so he says, "You want to buy it?" I said, "Yeah." So it was a ribeye with kind of an onion that had a little bit of flour on it that had been fried. It had that,
mm-hmm.
and then it had a Bernays sauce. Is it Bernays?
Bernays, yeah.
And, Mike, it was like out of this world. I was like, holy smokes, man. And he said, yeah, pretty good. He said, look, the ribeye, because of the marbling, is, he said, it's, you know, he said, look, what you're talking about is the same cut as prime rib. You're talking about that part of the cow. I said, oh.
Well, yeah, that, and, you know, fat is flavor, man.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me? It's delicious. Delicious. The ribeye steak. When somebody tells me, like, oh, I'm a porterhouse guy, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. The ribeye. But I am surprised because you're such a foodie that you don't have a special rub that you put on it. That surprises me.
No, I mean, I do sometimes, but not mostly just like you said, just salt and pepper, man. That's the only way to do it.
That's all you need. Let me tell you. I tell you what, there's a huge difference. Where do you buy your steaks?
We usually get it at H-E-B.
That is a butcher shop. You know what? I was cooking steaks one night. They were ribeyes, and, you know, I can't remember who I was cooking them for, but they said, Dad, this is awesome. What'd you do different? I said, I bought better meat. And no joke, the cut of meat is...
Oh, yeah.
You can get caca ribeye, and you can cook it, and it's leather. It's not very good. You go buy quality meat, and you know all you do, as Mike said, salt and pepper. You know, cook it, and it's such a great steak. And you throw it on people's plates. It's to die for, absolutely die for.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and that's what it comes down to is it's really the cut of meat.
It is, and that's
the cut of meat.
I think it was Catherine said, Dad, like, you crush this steak. I said, I did everything the same. It's just I bought a better steak.
Yeah.
So it is.
It really is. And it makes the whole world different.
Better. All right. All right, man. We will talk to you on Thursday. Have a good afternoon.
All right. I'll talk to you.
All right. There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman. Here on a Tuesday edition. The, no rub. Did you hear that? No rub. Surprised me. Gotta tell you. Not lying. I thought he was gonna tell me, oh, Mac, I use this rub, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Napa Man uses a rub. He made ribeyes, Sunday night. He sent me a picture of his ribeyes. Then he sent me a picture of dessert. And I texted back, I know that no longer exists on the planet, by the way. And he said, you know me. I said, yeah, because you used to eat all the club crackers in Afghanistan. I'd come in the morning, Napa Man crushed all the crackers. So, because things would happen and you can't go anywhere when things are happening, we'd have a little stash of, I think beef teriyaki beef jerky was in there. Teriyaki beef jerky, I think, was in there. And it was club crackers with peanut butter and jelly. Or at least, there was club crackers and Smucker's squeezable strawberry jam. Yeah, that would be your substitute meal. And there would be some packet. There was oatmeal always laying around someplace you could find. So if you could get away and eat. And if you weren't smart enough to ask somebody to bring you something back. Yeah. But so I would come in after having gone down and bought the stuff at the PX, and Napa Man would have eaten it all. And I'd look at him like, what happened? He's like, Mac, we had a little bit of a situation here last night. I said, so you ate all the food? I'm not proud of it, but yeah. I'll go get some today. Right. Yeah, you will. Anyway, that'll do it. Don't touch that dial. Interesting program. Grant Newsham joined us this morning talking about what he expects out of the president's meeting with Mr. Kim. in North, not in North Korea, but when they get together. And the question is, everybody expects it to fail, okay? If you assume that, it's going to fail, because he won't disarm at the 11th hour and 59th minute. Are we closer to war? After that, what does the United States do? Accept a nuclear North Korea or begin the process of blockading it, which will lead us down the path to a shooting war? Yes? Interesting. And then after that, the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette and the publisher of Leathernet Magazine, Chris Woodbridge, joined us. And we had an interesting discussion, and as we did with Mike, about the results of the plea bargain in a case at Parris Island. And the three of us all, I think, said the same thing. It's a bit of a head-scratcher. I was the only one that said the guy skated. But anyway, allowed to resign as a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, gets a letter of reprimand and a $5,000 fine. Okay, gunnery sergeant in jail for 10 years at least. And a recruit that was hazed by the gunny, essentially committed suicide. So it's the exact opposite message that I thought would be sent. So I guess we'll see if there's anything else that happens. But again, and I don't know the lieutenant colonel involved. I just know this. You send messages with verdicts like this, with deals like this, and either the Marine Corps overcharged this and couldn't prove its case and had to settle for this, and in that case, they shouldn't have charged it to begin that way. But I just think it's once again, officer walks away. And where was the sergeant major? Did he even get charged in it? No. He got relieved. He's probably on to another duty station now. Nothing's going to happen to him. So, in my opinion, the wrong message. With that said, on a Tuesday, out.